As we're standing, I will pray. Our faithful God and our Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, here we are before you, a people of God, privileged to come before your holy presence, privileged to hear your word open to us, explained, expounded, and applied in our lives. So we say, speak, O Lord, until your church is built. Speak, O God, until the earth is filled with your glory. Use us as we preach, O God. Open the ears and the hearts of your people. Open our mouth that we may speak in accordance to your will. Help us to grasp your fullness, O God, the truth. Help us, O God, to respond also to the truth. We know we are saved. May find assurance in you. For Christ's name and his sake we pray, and we all say amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 1. We continue with our study in the Gospel according to Matthew. We read from verse 18 to verse 25. And later on we'll read Luke chapter 1 verse 26 to 38 later on. But now Matthew chapter 1, 18 to
25.
Before we read, let me say it is good to see you again this morning. And those who come to visit us for the first time, you are welcome in the house of the Lord. Alright, we read then from the Sotho, then the English. From
18 to 25. Ke ka Josepha bohatsa Maria a ne a lukile me a tsake go mo hobosa a rere go mo hlala ka dikunutu ya re hatsa go potse jwalo ke mo lela mo ena la iponasa o le ena togolo la re Josepha mo ga da pita o tsika wa tsaba go inkela Maria mahatsao go ba ne se emotsweng ke ena setswa go moya o halalelang. O tla tswala mora mme o tla morea lebitso la Jesu gobane o tla pholosa setšhaba sa gae dibeng tsa tsona. Tsale tsena tsotlhe di etsagetse gore o tle go phetagale go boletsweng ke morena ka moprofeta ha re bona morwetsana o tla emola a tswale mora mme mora yoo o tla rewa lebitso la Emmanuele e le gore Modimo o na le rona. Ga Josepha a tsoga borokong a tsaka mo lengole la morena le molaetseng ka teng a nkela mahatsa gae mme gaka a kena dikobong tsa gae o fitlhela a belega mora. Josepha a moreya lebitso la Jesu.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quickly. But as he considered these things, behold, the angel of God appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. That she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name, what?
Jesus.
May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Last week we have seen how imperfect the human family line of Jesus Christ is or was. And I think that should also remind us how imperfect our own families are and how imperfect we are in the face of the Lord. But by God's grace, he still uses us even in our imperfection. So last week we realized that Mary wanted to prove through the genealogy of Jesus Christ that this is the Son of God who was to come into the world and save a people for himself, as God has promised to David and Abraham. So this morning, in this portion that we have read, Matthew's aim is to show us the mission of King Jesus. The mission of King Jesus. But before we look at the mission of King Jesus, I think it is great that we can just pause and look at the impact, the effect, look at the influence of his arrival into this world. Especially in the life of those who soon become his parents. So we'll divide this into two. Next week we'll come back to verse 18-25. This week we're only looking at the arrival of King Jesus. What impact does it have in the life of people, the arrival of King Jesus? What really caught my attention as I read this text from 18:25, it is what it is. Verse number 21 says, he will save his people from their sin. That is Matthew's idea.
Verse 21.
He shall save his people from their sins. But it could not escape me. The fact could not escape me how insignificant our little plans are before God. Especially when our plans does not align with his sovereign will and sovereign purpose for his own glory. He comes to the life of both Joseph and Mary and he changed their plans. These people had a very good plan. They had planned to get married. They had a good future together. But immediately we see what the Bible says is actually right. The Bible says many are the plans in the minds of men, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. The question is, how significant is the plan of God in your life? The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, he says, God's wisdom and God's ways are far beyond human understanding, are far beyond human can take, and hence God must be glorified. So friends, until we understand that God's plans comes first, we will always cry, we will always wonder, why things does not happen according to our plans, why things does not happen according to our purposes, until we understand that God's plan comes first. Matthew Henry, let me give you this quote. He says, God's counsel often breaks men's measures and confuses their plans. But listen to this one. But their plans, that's human plan, their plans cannot in any way change God's counsel, nor disturb the proceeding of God's counsel. Nor put him upon a new direction. We will not disturb God's plan. We will never make God change His ways. We will never make God change His purpose. But God will always change our plans, our purpose in this life. Because, my friends, God does not come into the life of unwilling people and forces His will, but He works in our hearts. He softens us and makes us willing to accept His measures, make us willing to accept Him as Lord. He works in our hearts. So since He led us here, and I assume that there is something in our hearts about Him. At least then something in our minds about Him. I assume there is. But the question is, are we willing to abandon our own plans and take on the purpose and the will of God for His glory in our lives? Because that is what is going on here. Someone needs to abandon his own plan and take on God's purpose. We talk about two people who are already planning to get married, but yet God comes in and disturbs the plan. Are you willing to take on God's purpose and forsake your own little plan? He comes to this well-organized, plan between Joseph and Mary. He challenges their obedience, he challenges their faith, he challenges their righteousness towards Him. This event takes place at the conception of Jesus Christ on the womb of Mary, the angel of God, and he comes to explain how these things happened. How, why? We'll see the why next week. Today we just want to know how. So Mary was waiting for her special day, the wedding that was to take place between her and Joseph. And in the midst of that, the Bible tells us that Mary agreed to conceive a child from the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus took place in this way: when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, very important, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So what it says is that this child comes not by human will, this child comes not by human purpose. So this is not a matter of flesh and blood. This child is not made. This child becomes. Just as the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word took on flesh, or He became flesh, and He dwelt among us. So here comes the Son of God, here's the grace of God, the Son of God, the Holy One of heaven. He comes and He takes a nature, our own nature, human nature, put it upon Himself. This is the grace of God, where the Son of God becomes a man and He makes His dwelling among us. Why must You make a dwelling among us, O King Jesus? So that we, let me put it right, so that He makes our dwelling with Him. That is why Jesus comes, He makes a dwelling among us, so that we may dwell with Him. So that those who come to Him by faith may be forever His. That is the reason. So we see that the genealogy we looked at last week only reveals the human nature of Jesus, but there is something divine about this King that we see today. He's just not a human born, He's someone coming into the world. Joseph was betrothed to Mary. And there, before they were married, Mary is found to be with child. Let's just explain this betrothed. Friends, Betrothed was a very important and a serious matter at the time. It was a very serious marital covenant between two people and two families. It actually involved the whole community. We'll read that. This is not the kind of engagements that we have these days that we break whenever we want to break. This is even more than some kind of marriages that takes place in our days. A lady, a singer, some important person called Britney Spears, she got married and divorced. After 55 hours. Not even 2 days, eh? What a shame. But she was married under the name Christian Wedding. But betrothed is something serious than death. It involves life and death. There is a price to pay. There's a debt to suffer if you break kind of wedding of arrangements. If you break this kind of arrangement, there is death. Remember in John chapter 8, one woman was caught in adultery, then they wanted to stone her. This was serious. I remember watching a TV story and Ndebele story. You know the Ndebele is their own TV as well. There's a story, this beautiful lady waiting for her wedding day. She sits at home, she prepares everything, and the family is sitting there. They're waiting for the bridegroom. As they're waiting, they saw cars passing by the gate and going to the neighbor's house. And soon there was a wedding there. And to her surprise, the wedding was her bridegroom's wedding with the lady of the next door. This is not death. This is serious. Betrothed is made of life and death. So the angel comes into the life of Joseph while he is asleep. The Bible says he comes in a dream to reveal the truth and give Joseph to give Joseph clarity what's happening. To give him confidence and strength. Friends, you can imagine how troubled, how confused this man was. His future wife is pregnant without his involvement. This is something very difficult to bear. But then the angel comes to clear up the situation and bring understanding. The angel says to him, "This is the virgin birth prophesied by Isaiah." Yes, it's Isaiah. If you read Isaiah 7 verse 14. God speaks to Isaiah 720 years before the coming of Jesus. He says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give a sign. The Lord will give a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel." As he's still sitting there with this confusion, the angel of God, this is God's plan. Now you have to change your plans now. So the angel says to Joseph, God has just done the impossible. In order to bring his plan about, God is doing the impossible. Last week we have seen that God didn't even worry, didn't even care about the sin in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. He still sent his son into the world. You see, he still kept his promises. He was still merciful to us. And it was because of our sins that he sent his son. So today, we are told again, that regardless of what people has planned, but if God is arriving, God is arriving. To him be glory, majesty, dominion forever and ever. And I say amen. Can someone else say amen?
Amen.
And so friends, Mary, sitting there. Oh, sorry, this is Joseph now, lying there in bed, worried. Then the angel of God, and he comes. He comes and he put a stamp to what I just said, that this covenant was serious. It was not something to be taken lightly. These people were legally married, my friends. They were legally married, although they were not together. Listen to what Genesis 29 verse 21, Laban says, sorry, it's Jacob speaking to Laban, not Laban. Laban must just listen. The Bible says, then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife that I may go in to her, for the time is complete. My time is complete. So what we need to draw out here is that Jacob is calling the woman his wife before they're even married, because they were betrothed. This is not me taking a young lady and staying with her and calling her my wife. This is a covenant relationship that is working, that is acceptable before God. But I want you to put yourself in the shoes of this young man, Joseph. What would you have done? What would you have done even before the angel came? Of course, you would have been angry. And that is acceptable. His wife to be is pregnant without him. He has to be angry. But the question is, would you have considered the matter in accordance to the will, to the word of God? Would you consider your decision making godly? Or would you have just continued with her and defiled yourself without considering the word of God? You see, we're living in a time where people are just overwhelmed with anger when they hear things and they make decisions without considering God. We're also living in the times where people, they're just overwhelmed with some kind of crazy love. They close their eyes, they see no evil, they continue with unrighteousness. But that's not Joseph. Joseph considered the word of God. See, my friends, the problem, I think, as people, we worry too much about our happy ever after. Then we make wrong decisions without considering God. Don't worry about your happy ever after, with somebody or without somebody. The question that stands is God's weight significant in your life? Does it matter what it says? How many people you know are in an unhealthy relationship? Young girls leave the church and go to pubs and find husbands, bring them in the church so that we may bless them. Young men go around to the streets and stand in corners looking for ladies and then bring them in the church so that we may bless them. But the word of God says we must marry in the Lord. Does God matter, my friends? Does God matter? Does what it says matter? So Joseph considered God's word. Then he purposed to do in accordance to what God says in his word. What did he want to do? He wanted to divorce her. Yes, Joseph, divorce her. Divorce her. Let her go. That's how it looks in the surface. Go. So he was considering these things. And verse 20 tells that as he was considering these things, behold, an angel of God came and disturbed his plans. His contemplation came to an end. The angel of God comes to him in a dream and he tells him the truth. Here is a young man, faithful, a committed man to his religion, a young man who was ready to act on his initial commitment to marry. He wanted to marry the woman of his life, but Mary was found to be a child that is not of Joseph. But look at this righteousness of Joseph. He considers this thing in accordance to the word of God. He considers this thing in accordance to righteousness. He considered these things. He didn't just act. He considered. When he was sure that he was right. We need to be sure we are right. Then he considered those things. He was a righteous man. Something that is very missing in our day. This is not a young man who is confused. He's not a young man who's just gonna go and get himself an unrighteous woman in infidelity. He's not a young man who's willing to defile himself. So he planned to divorce Mary secretly. You might think that he didn't want to embarrass her. That is true. That is true. He didn't want to make her the talk of the town. That is true. But anyone can do that. But here is the catch. Joseph just saved Mary's life. Look at Deuteronomy 22. Let's read together 22. Look what is Joseph is doing. And I want you to sit there and think if you would have done that or not. He's saving Mary's life. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 22, verse 20 to 21. You can read from verse 17 if you want, but let me read from verse 20 to 21. But if these things, that is, if the rumor, if this thing is true, that the evidence of virginity was not found in a young woman, then they shall bring out the woman to the door of her father's house. And the men of her city shall stone her to death, because she has done an outrageous thing in Israel by whoring in her father's house. So you shall purge the evil out of your midst. That is what Joseph was supposed to do. Throw her on the street, call the community, stone her to death. But Joseph did not do that, my friends. That is the challenge. That is what I want us to think about. Would you act like that against your enemies? Because this woman has broken the man's heart. But Joseph is unwilling to act against her as one will act against an enemy, although they are now standing in enmity. Is that possible for you? This is the arrival of King Jesus. Things are changing now. Friends, what we see is that Joseph was not a revengeful man. You see, people believe in revenge these days. They believe that they must pour out their own wrath. They must make an example out of you. I find it difficult why people think that hell, they think that hell is not enough. So we must add our own hell on top of the hell that God can bring. Is it because God's hell is not good enough for you? So you think your own wrath can add upon God's wrath and make justice? Is that why we don't forgive? Is that why we speak ways of hating other people? Just so that I can say something out of peace, that I can feel good, because God will take his own time. He's not going to act according to the way I want him to act. So I'm just going to do it myself. Put her on the street, get her stoned. Happy Yippee-ki-yay, hooray. That is not how it works, my friends. God is the only Avenger. Where we read in Psalms 94, God is the only Avenger, not us. We need to know that.
Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I wish that gets somewhere in our
afflicting much. But I don't want us at the same time to think. I don't want us to think that this man was not troubled in any way. This was a human, guys. This is a human. The fact that he's willing to forgive does not mean he was not troubled. He was obviously troubled and in despair. He was perplexed. And he was crushed within his own spirit. He was disappointed. He didn't think that Mary would do such a thing as it looks, because he trusted her. That is why he put that ring on her finger. He trusted her. But here's the catch. Even in the midst of such terrible and frustration, Joseph found sleep. Today we live in a time where people, just one little disappointment, people, they lose their sleep. And we are lucky if they lose their sleep, because sometimes they lose their minds. But here is Joseph sleeping. Why would Joseph sleep? Why would you sleep? In the midst of trouble that is happening in life, what is it that keeps you calm? Maybe Joseph was reciting the Psalms, one of the Psalms, maybe Psalms 42, verse 5 to 8.
Verse 5, verse 8.
Yeah, read for the congregation. Psalm 42, verse 5 to 8. It says, he will read it. It says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and from the land of Hamon, my God and my Lord. Deeps calls for deeps, at the roar of your waterfalls, at the breakers, and your waves have gone before me." But listen to this one. "By day the Lord commands his steadfast love to me, and by night his song is with me, a prayer to my God of my life."
Yena mo pulusi waka ne mudimu waka moya waka onyahami ke ka ho ke ho pula mudimu ke le na hanya jo dani le tshabetsa hermone le tshabeneng ya misare butiba bo arabela butiba ka ho haswa ha di phogo tsa hao makhubu le meralo yohle ya hao e fitilo dimaka botsare morena o tla ntshisa. Antite ka mahau wa hai. Busiu ke tla mminela ke rapela modimo ya mphilisa.
Praise be to God. Busiu ke tla mbinela. Pinda futhi.
Busiu ke tla mminela ke rapela modimo ya
mphilisa. By night.
Busiu.
His song is with me and a prayer to my God of my life. Maybe that's the life Joseph lived. This is what keeps us from confusion, knowing that there is God, knowing that God is above everything, is sovereign, and is a ruler among, not among, above all. Probably you're sitting there, you're wondering, but how can bad things happen to good people? This is a good man. How can he now be called to raise a child that does not belong even to him? Maybe it's because you think they are good people. They are not good people. First of all, it doesn't work that way. We don't say how do bad things happen to good people. They are not good people. Nobody. I know you're looking at me as one of the good guys. I'm not. Sinner saved by grace. But maybe you're asking, why me, Lord? Why all these things are happening to my life? Why am I losing everybody that I love? Why everybody is walking away from me? Why this job? Why not that job? Why am I troubled? Maybe ask him. But check what happened. In the midst of the night, God sent his messenger to Joseph. Says, "My son, we have done nothing wrong. This thing that happens in your life is not because you've done anything wrong. This is greater than you. This is greater than anything you can think of. This is about God. This is about God's favor and about God's plan in this life. Why don't you just sit there and be still and know that I am God? Why don't you just count your blessing day by day and see how good is God and remember what He has done? In the midst of such confusion, God showed up. God shows up in confusion. It's so good. He shows up in confusion. Where everybody is walking away. When you're sleeping alone and nobody to talk to. When those that you love have turned their backs from you. Maybe they have left you. But God showed up. When all hopes has gone and lost and things looks to be like chaos and in disorder. Says, the Bible says the angel of the Lord came in and he gave him good news and strength to carry on. He gave him the necessary confidence to face the world of criticism. Because there's criticism. Every time you take God's way, people will criticize you. So we, the Bible says Joseph waked up the next morning and he proceeded. He took Mary as his wife. And he named the child Jesus as God said. So he was obedient to his maker. He chose shame and he chose disgrace. Here is a young man going to take a woman who is pregnant. What a disgrace in that culture. I'm not saying don't marry a young lady who's got a child. That's not what I'm saying. The Bible does not keep us from doing that if you love her. But in that culture, this man chose disgrace. He chose shame. But God gave him the power, the strength to carry on. He gave him the good news. What is the good news? In your house, there is a son. In your house, there is a son of God. You see, if something like that, if news like that doesn't change you within, nothing in this world can change you. If the news says there is a son of God in your house, there is God who wants to save, who comes to save his people from their sins, and that does not in any way give you joy. If that does not give you joy, friends, there is nothing in this world that can give you joy. If that does not change your life, that the arrival of King Jesus is important than anything in your life, nothing will change your life. Yeah, anyway. So, friends, we need the Lord to visit us. We need the Lord to visit us. The King of Kings must arrive. He needs to come in our own lives in order for us to obtain such grace, in order for us to receive new strength and wake up the next day and do His will. The reason why we don't do His will, because He has not yet come. He is alive and He has come. Can our life change? Can we look upon Him? Can we consider Him and forget about all the plans that we had? Here's Joseph sitting planning, I'm going to divorce her. God says, no, you're not. Do not fear. Don't even make a move. Life is not about you. We live in a culture where people think everything is about them. No, friends. It's not about you. The little job that you have is not about you. That is why if you don't treat it right, you're going to lose it. The little salary that you get is not about you. You don't manage it right, God is going to take it away. The question is this plan? Is this purpose standing before you? That purpose standing before you, are you willing to run and to say, here am I, O Lord? Okay, well, let us move on. Let us look at the impact in the life of Mary herself. Because there's two people here. Okay, let me look at the time. Okay, we'll just summarize the verses. When you get home, read Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38.
Ka kgwedi ya botshela lengolo e kgabare ene la go ngwa ke modimo motseng wa kgalele ya obisang Nasareta. O moretsana ya lebeleditsweng ke monna ya bitsang Josepha wa ntlo ya Dafita lebitso la moretsana e le Maria. O ba le kene la yena itumele mahauhelwa morena o nna le wena a kgathateya ke polelo eo mme a ipotsa gore na tumediso eo ke ya mofuta ofe. Lengoloi la lena sesabi Maria gobane o fumane mogau go Modimo. Bona o tla emola o belege mora mme o tla moreya lebitso la Jesu. O tla ba mogolo mme o tla bitswa mora wa ya odimodimo. Morena Modimo o tla mofa tirone ya ntatae Dafita. O tla rena odima ntlo ya Jakobo ka o sa feleng mme borena ba gae bokeke ba e ba le bofelo. Maria a re o lenyoloi go oketsala jwang a thekisa le moretsana. Lengoloi la araba la re moya o galalelang o tla theogela wena maatla a ya odimodimo a be odima gago ka baka leo yeo o tla motswala o tla bitswa ya galalelang mora wa Modimo. Bona monka wena Elisabetha le ena o emotse mora botsofading ba gae mme kgwedi ena
Hallelujah, praise the Lord and bless his holy name. What's happening here is before the time of Joseph's dream. So the angel comes in the life of Mary and explains these things that we have just read. But what we see in the life of Mary is a life of faith, is a life of humility, a life of submission unto the Lord. First, she does not want to be praised by the angel. She is troubled by the greetings. The angel says, greeting unto you, favored one. Mary says, no, don't call me favored one. I'm a sinner like everybody else. So Mary doesn't want to think too much of herself. Because she fears the Lord. She says to the angel, don't do that to me. I'm one like everybody else. So Mary does not want to give the impression that she deserves some kind of a favor from God. You know, these days people think they deserve a favor from God. But she's humble, my friends. We must learn from her. But then she continues, she accepts God's purpose in her life. Without complaining, without question. The only question that there is not why God, I have a plan. People are going to stone me. She understands that will happen. But she only asks one question. How can this be? He asked God, how are you going to do this? Not what have you considered my future. That's the attitude of Mary. She sees herself a sinner. Don't call me favored one. Let me stop there before I mention many things about Mary. So here is a godly woman. Something that is also missing these days, godly women, we don't have them. Young ladies, godly young ladies, we don't have. I'm not saying they are not, but it's few. Praise the Lord unto you if you are godly young women who are submissive to the will and the purpose of God. Not submissive to the will and the purpose of boyfriend and husband. Not submissive to the will of their own. Putting God first.
And
praise the Lord if you are there. She says, let it be according to your word. We see obedience. That's what we see. We see faith. That's what we see. We see righteousness. But Mary has just signed a death warrant. She has just risked her life. She is going to be stoned. She knows the consequences of such a thing. But why do this, Mary? Because she believes that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. She believed that there is nothing impossible with God. She's willing to lose everything for the sake of her faith. She's willing to face death and shame, become an embarrassment to the parents, because she's upheld with the glory of God in her heart, compelled by faith. She would rather do according to God's will and suffer rejection and ridicule. She would rather be mocked. Here is a young woman who has kept herself pure. Here is a young woman who has done everything according to her faith. This is not some loose girl who goes around looking for donors that she may have a child without a father. Just like Joseph, this is not some kind of a people that goes around and may... You know, today, young men, they go around and just get people pregnant just because they think it's cool. It's not cool, guys. Not because I say so. Not because this church says so. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what the church says. What it matters what the Bible says. It's not cool. But here is a young girl. My question is, will you yield yourself to the plan of God as Mary? Would you yield yourself to the purpose of God and leave Him to deal with the consequences? He calls you. It doesn't matter where you are. Come. I know you've been planning your little wedding. No, come, do my will now. Come. I know you think you've got a purpose. What you have in your mind, you just want a business. What you have in your mind, you want 1, 2, 3. No. Come. It is time for you to come. This is God. He doesn't ask questions. Come. I know what you're looking for. I will still give it to you. You're looking for a wedding. A nice one. You still get married to Joseph, but now is my time. I don't know if we are willing to submit ourselves to the purpose of God. In verse 34 of chapter number 1, Mary says to the Lord, "How will this be?" But in verse 36, he says, "Behold, I am a servant. I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." So for as long as I do, pleases you, let it be. For as long as what I do serve you, O God, if I can just submit unto you, let it be in my life. Verse 20 in chapter number 1 in the book of Matthew. The angel says the child is conceived already in the womb from the Holy Spirit. He is placed there in the womb by God Himself. This is the Son of God who comes into the world. So, if the Bible says he comes into the world from the Holy Spirit, boom, He comes. I think there's something we can learn from there. Here's an excellent way of seeing what it means to be born of the Spirit, what it means to be born from above, what it means to be born again. Not by flesh. What it means to be born again. The Spirit of God voluntarily enter your heart and save you. He voluntarily, I must repeat, voluntarily. Not wako. Yeah. He just comes in voluntarily and enters and saves you. He washes your sins away. Not just washing you from the penalty and the guilt of sin, but He washes us from the love and the power of sin. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes, He confuses the spectators. There are people who are sitting there watching your life. There are people watching and say, "No, she will not make it." No, we can see she's starting to go to church. No, it's not going to work. But the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He confuses the spectators. He even surprises you. How did it happen? I was a sinner. Behold, now God indwells me, and I'm counted among the multitudes. Then you sing your favorite song, Jokimi Tolo Tolo Haki Ratalin, because you don't understand how did it come.
Amen.
He said amen, I will say amen as well. We don't understand, friends, but it's God's choice, it's God's grace. So he makes you realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He makes you realize that Jesus Christ is King. You begin to realize that he's the eternal Son of God. Not your servant that you sent to a shopping mall, your servant that you sent to a bank to clean up your mess. People sent Jesus to pay their bills. He's the Son of God, the transcended King of glory. You wouldn't even dare talk to him like that. Jesus, I'm lazy. I apply the blood. I call your name. May I have money in the bank? No, this is not. Friends, this is the Son of God. Not just somebody like that. Transcended and holy. If you are really saved, you will understand what I'm talking about. You understand the cross. You understand how. You understand who this is. This is God. Not someone who just shouts his name 20 times in the church. Jesus. No.
Jesus.
Going like you're a mad cow or something. No, friends. I can tell you now. That is not the Jesus of Scripture. This is the Son of God. If you go on like you're calling a mad cow when you talk to him, then you must know you are the mad cow. When he comes, when he enters in our hearts, he reveals himself. We begin to know who he is. Because when we are not saved, we just think Jesus is a name, we just think Jesus is somebody out there. But if we begin to see, he's a savior. He's a savior. And without him, we cannot be saved. So my friends, the angel says, God the Holy Spirit was gracious and he humbled himself and indwelled Mary, and God kept his promise. There's one thing that I know as well, that even today God is willing to indwell our sinful bodies. He's willing to indwell those who come in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who will repent and say, "Yeah, my God, save me." And if the Spirit was willing to go so low and leave his holy height above and come to indwell a human being, what will stop him to come now and indwell you and save you from your sins and keep you in this salvation? We see that he loves us, my friends. If he has to come from heaven and leave his glory above, he loves us. So Joseph and Mary suffered mockery. They suffered mockery, ridicule. They became the talk of town. They were called names. But there's something I need to tell you. Those scoffers, they continue to scoff. But one thing they did not have. The Son of God. Mary and Joseph had the Son of God. So whenever you go on and mock somebody, ask yourself, do I have the Son of God? And when people mock you, ask, do I have the Son of God? Yes, if you do, then you will remember you need to humble and pray for your enemies as Joseph did. So I pray that this study this morning can help you to see the need of doing things right. To help you see the need of putting away your own purposes and put God first. The need for godliness in our decisions that we're making. Not to continue in sin. Above all, not to think that your enemies must die. Don't think that your enemy must die. Because the Bible says, love your enemies. Joseph didn't think that Mary should die. But we must be Christ-like. Christ himself, who did not deal with us in accordance to what we deserve. So I pray that the arrival of King Jesus may have a great impact in our own hearts. That we may be willing to suffer mockery for his name. That we may be willing to lose our lives for his holy name, like Mary. I pray that the arrival of King Jesus may leave in us a great obedience and a great faith, may challenge our righteousness. That we may be able to say, I was lost, I am found. I was dead, now I'm alive. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and above the waters he lifted me, now I am saved. Friends, the King has arrived. There should be a great impact in our lives. Do you have faith? Are you obedient to God? Does God's plan matter above your plan? When he came in the life of Mary and Joseph, they had to align their life according to the will of God. I pray that it may be so unto you as well. May the good Lord bless you. And I pray. Amen. Let's pray.